Welcome to my art studio where all the magic happens. This is the station for painting, and that is the station for all the resin art I do. If you want to check out my art, all you gotta do is go to lutfstudio.com. LUTFstudio.com.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Live Up to Freedom. We are live everywhere that we can be as of right now. YouTube, Facebook, Lindell TV, frankenspeech.com, and WVWTV. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you're staying warm because I don't know about you. I don't know where you're at, but where we're at, the cold is hitting again. Anyways, but that's all right. At least I'm feeling better with my cold. So that's good. And thank you for some of your advice really worked. I did try them and they really worked. So thank you for all of that. As always, wherever you are, no, I should say, as always, if you are joining me on Facebook or YouTube, please make sure to share this feed so we can talk to everyone because I am having one of those days. I am about to do the I told you so thing. No, I mean, no, I will do it. But do you remember if you watched most of my feed, you might remember in 2022, early 2022, I did a report on a town in Michigan that became officially governed by full-on group of Muslims. I think it's Hamtramck, whatever. You know which one I'm talking about. If you don't know, it's spelled Hamtramck in Michigan. Now, to make sure I am not making anything up, I actually went to City Hall website of Hamtramck, Michigan, and the mayor of that area is Amir Ghaleb, Muslim, 100%, no question about it, Sharia-obeying Muslim, actually. And then the city council members are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, all 6 of them Muslim. One of them, Amanda, who's a hijab-wearing Muslim, that are, you know, kind of sort of running the town. Hi, Michael. Hi, Michael. We've got two Michaels on. And hi, Karen. So this happened in early 2022 when Hamtramck, Michigan became full-on controlled or governed by Sharia-obeying Muslim members, American Muslim. They call themselves Muslim Americans, which is a topic I will talk about today. But when that happened, I jumped on camera and I said, well, congratulations, because wait, as they will start importing and implementing Sharia in that town, because there is... Oh, thank you, Karen. Hamtramck. You see, I would have never guessed that. I don't know why. Hamtramck. Thank you. I said they will import Sharia because that's how it is. Remember, in Quran 47:35 says, do not call for peace when you are superior in numbers. When an area is conquered or also known as governed by Muslims, Sharia follows. Now, guess what happened here? Now, that very town, which in this specific article I'm about to just read quickly off of, is called Hamtramckistan, being all, you know, majority Muslims, but they passed the law. And actually credit goes to Karen because she is the one who got my attention to this. Thank you, Karen, for sending me the information on this. Now, apparently, within city limits, you can slaughter any animal in name of Allah. Remember the concept of halal meat in Islam? I'm going to go over it just in case if you don't. So in Islam, in order for you to eat the meat or the food, in order for it to be halal, there are two laws. One, it has to be killed or hunted in name of Allah. So you stand there as a hunter or as a butcher and you're like, I am slaughtering you in name of Allah. Boom. Magically, it's halal. And then also, you have to slaughter this poor animal, whatever the animal is, in the most barbaric, brutal way you can think of. Every drop of blood needs to exit the body of the animal while the animal is alive. Like, they don't shoot it or kill it first and then, you know, drain the blood. No, alive is how it happens. I mean, you can look up how the halal meat is, you know, done. It's disgusting. But now in Hamtramck city limits, go ahead and slaughter your animals. If you're a Muslim, you need your halal meat, or there is Eid al-Fitr or any of their aid, slaughter animal. Some people might think, give me an example, Jody. Jody Taylor, some aspects of Sharia sound pretty dope, not all but some. Please give me some example of those that do are pretty dope. And I would like to learn about those. Anyhow, back to the topic of it. Thank you, Ingrid, for your compliment toward my art. I appreciate that. So some people might say, so what? Because I have heard enough people saying it's their religion. It's their religion. It's their religion. Okay, fine. I'll give you that. But here are the things that I will personally bring to the table. Number one, I would like to know, where are all the animal activists? All of, where are you? They're about to slaughter their animal. Number two, growing up in Iran, I don't know how many times I have lost count, but there were many times when I personally, as a kid, standing there watching this poor animal, I think you call them sheep with the E, you call them sheeps, at weddings, anybody coming back from Mecca, a baby born, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Qurban, all of those events, they just dump a sheep on the ground and slaughter the poor animal right there in the middle of the street. I mean, literally blood running down and all. And as a kid, you watch that. You do. You don't have the option of not watching. If you don't look, then you get literally this little pinches on your arm by some of the family members of, what are you doing? What are you doing? Allah's going to be upset. I mean, I have established my relationship or my understanding and my point of view of this Allah guy, but why is your Allah upset if a little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old is not watching an animal bleed to death? And not frown or flinch. That's the thing. This is part of the training, right? Call it whatever you want to call it. From childhood, they teach you to look at the slaughter of another being in front of you. Watch it. Do not flinch. And be strong for Allah. Again, that's beside the point of why Allah needs that strength of a child. This is what's about to happen. Now, if you think for a second anybody in that area is going to go and say, hey, this is child abuse, if you're doing it in front of your child in the middle of the street, I highly doubt, because remember, at the end of the day, how dare would we ever even think of being Islamophobe, right? But the fact is, when an area is conquered and governed by full-on Sharia-obeying Muslim members, Sharia follows. I have been screaming this point on top of my lungs for 7 years now. In a very strange way, it is somewhat comforting to know that they are proving my point for me. Now, the question is, are my fellow Americans paying attention? I understand there's a lot going on. Don't get me wrong. I'm not expecting you to just sit there and follow where is becoming Sharia. But yours truly is trying to bring you the highlights of them. I mean, there's always jihadwatch.org. Just click on jihadwatch.org and boom, guess what you get? All the report of jihad all across the globe. You'll get them. But let me remind you, 219 Sharia-obeying Muslims are elected in different positions, local, state, federal, inside United States of America. How long until one by one these Sharia barbaric 1400 years ago rules and regulations are going to come to your town? Don't tell me not on my watch, because all of our watches have failed us. Let's put it that way. The question is how long, and when it does come to your neighborhood, what are you planning to do about it? It is not... David, that's a wonderful question. Very good question. Where is the law of the land at in America? That's a good question. Remember, we are at times where the country, United States of America, is at its best lawlessness. Now, the enemy will take advantage of this lawlessness. The entire tolerance and coexistence and don't be a bigot, all of that brainwashed systematic wording has gone to a point where I promise you the neighbors of that town in Michigan will not dare criticize this slaughter law or law legally slaughtering animal on the street. Literally, I kid you not, the law allows them to do it in front of their house. As I said, in Iran, in Iraq, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, Pakistan, parts of Turkey, this happens. A baby is born, somebody's wedding is, it's somebody's wedding night, somebody coming from Mecca, somebody getting to school. It's basically sacrificing for Allah, right? So anything good happens, anything bad happens. When somebody dies at their funeral, boom, another sheep on the ground, slay their neck. And I kid you not, I've been there and I have watched this happen. There is no put the kids in the house, don't let them watch it, don't let them see it. You're supposed to look at it, you're supposed to get used to it. You've seen plenty of videos of teaching kids to behead their dolls, let alone an animal. Anything that happens in Islamic culture, you sacrifice for Allah, normally a sheep. Now, if you're eating any meat of any kind of animal, you got to do the same format of a slaughter. It's just a matter of time until slaughterhouses are going to open in Michigan. Mark my words, I have not been wrong so far as to what is coming to America. In the last 7 years, whatever I have called, it has happened. And that is not because I'm a prophet. No, that is because I come from them, because I was raised by them, because I can smell Islam in the air. It gives me shivers when I'm around it. It's literally the devil. You know, when you are around the devil energies, you just get that shiver, creepy feeling. That's what it is. And I've been to Michigan. Remember, I gave a speech in Dearborn, Michigan at police station parking lot with the snipers on the roof because they couldn't guarantee my safety. And most of the people back then just told me, oh, Michigan is gone. Is that simply we have given up on Michigan. Michigan is gone. Give it up. What is the next state? Minnesota, gone. Give it up. California, gone. Give it up. How long do you think we can one by one give up on every state of America until United States of America is all gone? That's the end of the argument on this specific topic. As I said, I highly, highly, highly doubt that anybody's going to do anything about this. Anybody's going to pick up the phone and say, you know, slaughter of animal in America is not allowed. And yes, you are correct, Roy. There is way more to Sharia than a slaughtering animals. That is very true. But I have covered those aspects too. And most of those aspects, right now, we have proof that it already exists in America as far as aspect of Sharia goes. By the way, thanks for answering my question, Taylor, when you said some things are dope and your example was the husband being in charge of his household. Really? Come on. I think you can do better than that. Anyhow. Yes. Go away on Frank's speech. They cannot call the police or animal control for animal abuse in that town because officially the law says, let me read it out loud. It says, a Detroit area town's Muslim dominated city council passed a law that allows animal sacrifice. Anyone can slit the throat of sheep or goats or any other animal within the city limits as a sacrifice to Allah. That's what the law says. Any animal on the street, within the city limit, inside their house, inside their store, in front of their house, in front of, I don't know, they might go in front of city hall and slit the throat of a sheep or a goat or a cow or a chicken or a dog or a cat. Should I keep going? You get the picture. But yes, go away. There is, if you're in that town and you're not a Muslim and you are in any shape or form against this law, you have no choice but to move out of there because it is officially a law now. Good point. Yes, I didn't actually think about the environmental impact, contamination. Oh my goodness, my English is so bad today. From animal waste. Yes. But it is hard to believe this is in America, but guess what? I told you I'm going to do that. I told you so. For 7 years, I've been telling you guys. I started with it's coming, it's coming. Then I said, it's here, it's here. Now I'm going to tell you it has conquered. We have absolutely provided by our own corrupt government proof that Homeland Security has released the number that every year in average between, I think, 24 and 32 honor killings are taking place in America. What is an honor killing? Well, a Muslim man has the right to kill their female daughter, mother, sister, wife in name of honor if they bring any shame to the family. The most popular and famous case of this was the Saeed sisters. However, it doesn't end there. It didn't end there. It will not end there. We do officially have clinic shut down in Michigan. Again, in Michigan, that was performing female genital mutilation on girls between ages of 6 and 8. Did they shut down the clinic? Yes. Did they take away the license of the doctor who was performing? Yes. Did she see a day in prison? No. Do you think she's stopping? No. There you go. That's your Sharia female genital mutilation. That's your Sharia honor killing. That's your, here goes your Sharia child bride situation. As you know, and as I covered, after the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, what did we do? We had child bride Afghans inside America in our military bases that the Homeland Security response to was, as I exactly remember, the speaker said, the Homeland Security is cooperating with Child Protective Services, looking into the age of the child and age of the marriage to determine if the child is in danger. Here's your child bride situation in America. Now we have the sacrifice of animal. We already have the jihadists. The list is unlimited. We already have the mosques that are providing military support, including weapons, funding, and the fatwas. Because guess what? No jihad can take place unless a leader, imam, a scholar, mufti, a sheikh, or a supreme leader issues the fatwa for Muslims to go commit the jihad. Am I missing some? Oh, we also have the Islamic tax going on. Every Islamic store, every product that is halal that is being sold in America, percentage of it is being returned to mosques and leaders of Islamic community as Islamic tax. There you have it. That if anybody possibly could sit here and think for 1 second it's coming, they need to wake up. It is already here. It is expanding. It is spreading like pretty fast. And unless Americans, regardless, I'm not even going to say American Christians, all Americans, if we don't stand up to this, wait until it is knocking at your door. And that is when it is too late for you to properly take legal actions within our Constitution. I will repeat, in our Constitution, absolutely no foreign laws are allowed to be practiced. This sacrificing for Allah thing is a foreign law that is now passed as American law inside America and is being practiced. This cannot be hidden behind freedom of religion. I'll tell you why. First of all, the freedom of religion applies until what your religion tells you to do becomes a danger to yourself or to the society. This is a danger to American society. Do we have any lawyer out there who's willing to take on this case? I highly doubt it. I do. Do we have enough Americans who are willing to sign a petition? I highly doubt that as well. Because remember, even though, see this dreamer, it is not coming. Let me rephrase. It is already in America. It has been in America. Today, the phrase is, it's a spreading. It's a spreading. Remember how people reacted to COVID? Imagine for 1 second. If people would wake up and realize the virus of Islam spreads a lot faster and kills way more than COVID did, imagine what would have happened then. But how do I actually convince people that what I say on these programs are not something I made up? All they need to do is grab the Quran and read it. All you need to do is read The Reliance of the Traveler. All you need to do is read a couple of constitutions of these Islamic countries. Hey, just look at what's happening in Iran. Look at what's happening in Syria. Look at Afghanistan. How long are you going to buy into the concept of moderate versus radical? How long are you going to buy into ISIS is not the real Islam? Ayatollahs are not the real Islam. The jihadis are not the... Now, who is the real Islam? If you don't even know what's the real Islam, why are you fighting for something that you don't understand the concept of it? If it's been hijacked, why don't you, darling Muslims, go and take back your so-called peaceful religion? Let's stop. Stop all narratives. There's one narrative that is factual, and that is Islam is a cult. That is the longest lasting cult of human society for 1400 years, and the only way it has survived is by killing humans. Under Islam, the highest number of people have died. The biggest genocide of human history has been committed by this cult known as Islam. I've brought enough evidence and proof for anyone who's willing to understand, who's willing to accept the term that Islam, not radical, not moderate, not Shia, not Wahhabi, not Sunni, no, Islam is a cult. And it's the most dangerous cult human society has faced. Now, we might be able to possibly push back and stop it here in America before we think about other nations and other countries. Look at Europe. Seriously. Look at Europe. If you look at Europe in last 20 years, you'll get it. Yes, Ingrid. So what the Islamic tax, now within the Islamic books teaching, there's only one tax for Muslims, and then there's one tax for non-Muslims. Zakat is the tax mandated for Muslims. Any income they have to provide their taxes. If they are in an Islamic governed country, the taxes go to the country, where then the supreme leader will issue fatwas or judgments and rulings on where the money goes. In the Quran itself, it has broken down into three different categories. The tax or zakat shall be spent on way of Allah, aka jihad, or furthering Islamization and global caliphate, to elderly people who don't have money to feed themselves, and to orphans. These are the three categories that the money will be split to. Three ways, boom, 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 give it. If you're not in an Islamic governed country, let's say United States of America, you pay your taxes to your local mosque. And then the mosque will put that money towards jihad again, as I said, either buying weapons for their soldiers or just directly giving that money, let's say, to Hamas, to ISIS, to Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, IRGC, anyone they pick to give that money to. For example, if you're dealing with the Iranian-Pakistani mosque in Cincinnati, Ohio, they always give that money to IRGC and Hezbollah. If you're dealing with the one in Los Angeles, California, same case, because they are Shia, Iranian-Pakistani, their ties are stronger with Hezbollah. And then Hezbollah can decide to give it to any of their alphabet child terrorist group. But yes, that is how they fund cause. Now, mind you, if you are, as an American, you go to a store and you're like, oh, this baklava is so delicious. You buy the baklava and you go home, you'd flip it over and you see a halal mark on it. Guess what? You just funded terrorism as well. Because it's not about who's paying for it, it's about who's receiving the money for it. If the company is a halal company, therefore it's a Sharia company, therefore you just funded a jihad. One of the things I've said repeatedly is, if you're purchasing something Middle Eastern, and I know there are so many yummies, like, you know, the Turkish delight, there's a peshmerga, there's baklava, there is so much yummies. Always flip the box, scan through everything, make sure there's no halal mark on it, then purchase it. Therefore, you're buying from a Middle Eastern non-halal product. If you're buying it from a halal product, your money, portion of your money, just went straight to fund a jihadist. Jihadis. Rydon is asking or saying that his guess is that despite what rules are made in that city, border rules, state, county, zoning, etc., take precedence over a city ordinance. Yes, it does. And that's why they are concentrating. You see how I always say we got to go local level, local level, local level? That's what Muslims are doing. There are many smaller cities or towns in a state such as Minnesota, Michigan, California, that they're becoming full-on governed by Muslims so they can insert their law. And nobody can override it. Nobody can fight it. That's why I didn't say pick up your phone and call your representative, because there's nothing your representative can do about this. Nada. Nothing. There are possible state-level lawsuits or pushbacks you can do, but there's nothing the federal government can do about this ruling. It is what it is. It's within that city, and it's going to stay within that city. However, as I said, on a state level, you might be able, for example, if you're a resident of that town and you want to go up against the council members and the mayor, then you can take this up to the governor. You could. Are there guarantees you're going to win? It's absolutely guaranteed you won't, because nobody wants to be an Islamophobe. But it is an option. It is one way of fighting back. I do need to keep my eyes on the clock. Okay, I still have 2 minutes on Lindell TV. So, no, actually, Ingrid, Islam did not come since Obama took office. It started from Bush, September 11, when he opened the bridge of Islam as a religion of peace. Now, Obama started allowing them or opening the gates for them to become elected officials. That's how the steps worked. But yeah, it all started from there. Okay. So there you have it. This is the latest of Islamization of United States of America. I am strongly, I don't like to use this term, but I am begging you, my fellow Americans, wake up. Wake up. Make sure you're speaking out. Make sure you're defining Islam the right way. Stop even those who are on the right side, and I don't mean right side as of conservative, but on the right side of history. A lot of them have given into the radical versus moderate and hijacked versus original. Correct them. Don't shy away. Don't be afraid. Let them know. There's a good question somebody asked once a while ago was, can you tell me where do we go from moderates to radicals? Ask that question. Ask it. Because again, 50% of the Quran, 51% of the Quran is explanation of how Muslims should deal with non-Muslims. 51%. You cannot call this a religion when more than half of your holy book is about war, killing, beheading, converting. This definitely loses the definition of religion. It becomes a military operation to achieve the end goal, which is global caliphate. Guys, I am out of time on my time for Lindell TV. Thank you so much to my Lindell TV audience for being with me today. Please remember, go to mypillow.com or mystore.com. Use the promo code AC21. You get discounts. I get credit, and I can continue doing what I do. Also, my artist store, lutfstudio.com, lutfstudio.com. Use the promo code Frank. And if you want custom orders, just click on the button that says contact the seller. Tell me your favorite colors, item, size, and stuff like that, and I can start building them or making them for you. Thank you so much again. Stay safe. Stay vigilant. God bless you and God bless America. I'll see you tomorrow at 2:30 right here on Lindell TV. Rest of platforms, don't go anywhere. I'm going to take a one-minute sponsor break, and I'll be back. And I do have two more news that I need to discuss with you. Welcome back to Live Up to Freedom. Thank you guys for staying with me. I appreciate you. And again, just a reminder, please make sure to share this live feed. And again, another reminder, I will be here every day from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. Central Time, YouTube and Facebook. Facebook was the word I was looking for. Karen, your question is, who do I need to call in Michigan about this new law and what do I need to tell them? Karen, what I would do, I don't know how far you are from that town. But what I would do is I would start by contacting or finding a state legislation lawyer, meaning a lawyer who's familiar with the state legislations. Find one and tell them that you would like them to put together a statewide petition against this law. If you can create, like, gather enough members or residents of Michigan, that would be helpful. The more of you, the better. If they're willing to do it pro bono, that's great. If they want money, you might have to put some sort of, you know, give, go, send campaign up. When you have the petition, you're going to start getting signatures. The lawyer would know what the Michigan state law is. Some states have 7,000. Basically, the number of signatures you need depends on the population of the state. So you need to figure out that number, which, again, the lawyer should know. Then when you have those signatures, now those signatures could be electronic. They could be literally you knocking at people's door getting signature. Then you can take that petition with whatever number of signatures you need. And then you go to governor, to the governor with that petition. Now, the governor has the right to take the petition and take it into consideration. The governor has the right to say, well, no, or tweak this, tweak that. Change this, change that. I can help you here and there. But the very first step is finding a lawyer who understands the legislations within the state of Michigan. Then be able to put the petition up, then getting signature. And from there, boom, you go to governor. I hope that helps. Yes, I am... Well, the first, I only have 30 minutes airtime on Lindell TV, but I think possibly I'm getting extra time today because I just noticed that I am still on air on Lindell TV, so I don't know. Nope, that was it. We are off air on Lindell TV, so I normally have 30 minutes on Lindell TV. And then after that, I just stay with you guys. Frank speech password, Sonia. You should, if you reach out to our support team, they should be able to reset your password for you. How about this? Just send me an email for those of you who don't know, I am one of the associate producers at Frank Speech. And then I also work with the front end of the website. So Sonia, just send me an email, liveuptofreedom@gmail.com. liveuptofreedom@gmail.com. Send me an email with your username and the email attached to your Frankenspeech. I'll reach out to our support and make sure to send you a reset password for that. Anyhow, okay. So, as I said, I don't want to run out of time. I want to make sure that I do talk about the next topic. I do have a comment here I want to read to everyone, because you might be if you're purchasing or if you do your grocery at Safeway. I don't know which states have them, but if you purchase anything from Safeway, somebody just commented that the organic ground beef they purchased from Safeway was a stamped halal. So watch out. Looks like Safeway is adding some halal product to their product. Okay. I have a video I want to play for you. And then I want to have your take on it, and I want to talk about it too. It's an interview. Let's listen to this. I don't know. It's like 2 minutes or so.
Your bio on your official page as governor describes you as a, quote, trusted confidant of President Trump. Have you talked to him about his 24 run? Will you endorse him in that?
My focus right now has been on 2022, winning the election in November, preparing through transition and getting ready to take office as I did this past week. I love the president, have a great relationship with him. I know our country would be infinitely better off if he was in office right now instead of Joe Biden. But right now, my focus isn't 2024. It's focusing here in Arkansas and doing what we can to empower the people of this state and make sure that I'm delivering on the promises that I laid out over the course of the last 2 years.
What kind of timeline would you have for making a decision? Do you want to see who else gets into the primary? Will you wait for the nominee?
My focus isn't on 2024. It's on what we can deliver in this legislative session. I'm not going to set an arbitrary timeline. I'm not really focused on that at all, but focused on what we can do to impact change and deliver on the promises that we made during the campaign season here in Arkansas.
Okay, so there's already speculation about your future. A piece in New York Magazine's Intelligencer was written before the former president, announced he was running. It says, is Sarah Huckabee Sanders already auditioning for vice president? It says, too early for Sanders to run for the top spot, but what about Trump Sanders 24? She's shown her loyalty to the former president repeatedly and then said if the former president didn't run again, maybe DeSantis Sanders would have a nice Sun Belt ring to it. You've just gotten sworn in. Do you already feel the pressure of future speculation?
I feel the pressure of delivering this legislative session. That's the only thing that our team and that I'm focused on is delivering on what we laid out to do. And I look forward to serving as governor of Arkansas for a full 8 years. If the people of Arkansas will give me that privilege and that opportunity, I'm incredibly excited about what I think we have in front of us. And that's the only thing I'm spending my time focused on right now.
Does anyone else feel like Governor Sanders was dodging endorsing, or was it just me? I mean, don't get me wrong. She absolutely handled that very professional. She handled that the way we are used to, you know, Sarah Sanders handling questioning. But it just felt like she wasn't. She wasn't willing to do the endorsement. I don't know. I got this report on Gateway Pundit with the title of Governor Sanders or Sarah Huckabee declining to endorse President Trump. That was their headline, which got my attention. And then when it's a longer video. It's like 8 minutes or so, 6 minutes, I think. I watched the whole thing. But for today, I grabbed the part that was related to my question, at least. And I agree with their headline. It's kind of like, you know, first of all, I don't think there's anyone at the moment who's not focusing on 2024 anymore. Like, everybody is. But it was a... Now, I should say this. I'm not saying she should have, nor do I say she shouldn't have. It's not about that. It's that I have always seen her as a huge supporter of President Trump. So I think I was a little, I was caught a little off guard with how she didn't necessarily say no, but she absolutely didn't say yes. Last time, like the moment she was asked, boom, it was a yes, no doubt, no question, let's go. So I can't help but to think, because I'm a huge fan of her, and I'm a fan of her based on her record of being blunt, being honest, not being manipulated under no circumstances. She's been straightforward, like her father. So I guess part of me was a little happy to see that she's not jumping on the train with absolutely no thoughts behind it. Because again, warning, 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 trigger warning. We all know that last couple of months, there has been certain moves from President Trump that has definitely made all of us, especially Christian conservative Trump supporters, go, I mean, it has with me. It started with the endorsements of the Muslim candidates such as Dr. Oz and Ibrahim Hamadeh. And then I agree with, I'm sorry, I can't say the first part of your ID, but something farmer, which is, you know, saying if Trump doesn't come out against the jab and says he was lied to, he will never win the general election. That has been a concern with it, because it's one thing, you know, being against it or not. I would say maybe not even that, but the fact that he's been promoting it lately, I've seen the videos of him. I'm not even talking about headlines of people talking about it or comments. It's that him himself is very much bragging about that. The ceremony party at the Mar-a-Lago, you know, blaming the pro-lifers. It's just like, this whole thing is starting to look a little questionable. So when I saw this headline on Gateway Pundit, and then I watched the video, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring this to you guys. One, to, you know, it's good information to have. It's sometimes in the middle of all of the everybody making deals and trading cards behind doors or in front of cameras. It's good to know that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is still, at least in my book, she's still doing proper thinking and, you know, due diligence before jumping on something that might not necessarily be the best for the country. Ann Peck says he probably will not run. Can you give me your reasoning? Because I highly doubt he won't. He already announced. He has officially announced that he's running for the race. So what would make you think that he wouldn't? But oh, interesting. Someone thinks that Trump is being insulated from the jab reality by his gatekeepers. I don't know. Because, as I said, if he was just completely neutral about it, I would say, okay. But again, goes back to accountability, that if you're willing, with the power you hold, and I don't mean as president, I mean as it's Trump. I mean, he can gather millions in one rally. That's power. When you promote something, you got to do your own homework. I mean, are you telling me that he hasn't heard about all of this, you know, number of heart attacks and blood clots and all of that? I think he has. Did he do his homework? I don't know. Which takes us back to, is it reliable? Is this person reliable enough if he's just taking, you know, the gatekeepers or advisors word for it? I don't know, because there are times that when, I mean, I do my reporting, right? And sometimes I go to other sources, but before I bring their information, I am digging and digging and digging and digging. I mean, it's just, and my job is like this compared to being a president of the United States of America. Grammy is asking where are the feminists while FGM is happening. They are busy collecting their check for matching the left's narrative. That's where they're at. Remember, the feminazis out there, they're not activists. They are puppets. They have been given a certain narrative, and they stay within that narrative. And if it doesn't fit the narrative, it does not fit their interest. That's where they're at. But the real feminist, like myself, we just report on, I mean, as you know, yesterday we reported on the fact that now the floor in, where was it? Missouri, they're trying to give dress code to women to cover them up. And as I said, it's Democrats and Republicans both involved, and I'm still talking about it. So it's as far as the feminazis, the anything, FGM, child brides, honor killings, what's happening in Islamic Republic of Iran today, the number of executions are skyrocketing, and feminists aren't talking about any of that. Why? Because it does not fit their narrative. Yes, ANPAC, he lost me. He lost me at Dr. Oz. That's what ANPAC just said. Yes. And I, as you know, again, being the unbiased investigative journalist, I came out and said it on my program, on my live show. I am having such a hair day, guys. Like, I feel like my hair looks like weak. Anyways, I just looked at myself for a second. I'm like, why did I say? Anyhow, yes. He lost me. And let me tell you why he lost me at Dr. Oz. Again, breaking it down, he took so much heat over his quote-unquote Muslim ban, remember? Even though I did another program and I broke it down and I proved that majority of these bans aren't even Islamic countries. I did that. But he did take a lot of heat over Muslim ban. He did take out, you know, by his order, Soleimani was taken out, which IRGC is still trying to take revenge on that. He seemed to be very tough on this, you know, Islamization in America. But then, boom, he goes in, endorsed the one and only candidate with dual citizenship that is very questionable. Again, I'll repeat, I very vividly remember the discussion in the day he was picking on Ted Cruz. No, I'm not a Ted Cruz fan, but I'm just saying he was picking on Ted Cruz's dual citizenship and loyalty to Canada. But the fact that Dr. Oz has served in Turkish military, he is still voting in elections of Turkey and voting for Erdogan, who has openly and publicly has said that, you know, they're not our ally. And they have said that Westerners are insulting us by saying radical Islam, there's just one Islam. Voted for that guy. And it was no question for President Trump to endorse this guy at all. It kind of sort of looks a little like hypocrisy in there. And as you know, I don't do good with hypocrisy. So yes, he did. He lost me at Dr. Oz as well. But then it just kept getting worse from there. It was like that was the first spark. And now it's I'm looking at flames between pro-lifers being blamed, party thrown for LGBTQ. And what is that? Right marriage equal? I can't even remember the act now. Whatever act, marriage act. With, you know, having Kanye West as a guest. I mean, it's just turning into flames for me, but that's the way it is, I guess. Oh, you're very welcome, Grammy. Yes, I normally do my best to put the second half of my stream to answer questions as best as I can catch them in the comments. Thank you for asking. So, yes, that's the story. I don't really know. I know few names that have endorsed, but I don't even know where we're at with endorsement. And I understand it's a little early. Well, not that early because, you know, August, we blink and August is here for primaries. But I don't know. Okay, I'm going to tell you this. And it's just a feeling. I don't actually have facts for it. Call it a gut feeling. But have you noticed that the general picture of 2024 and the, you know, primaries, it all feels very iced in, like, I feel like 4 years ago, 2 years ago, even 2 months ago, there was way more hype about elections, either midterms, primaries, you know, presidential race. It just feels like somehow it all cooled off Nobody's talking about it the way we used to. Like even, you know, DNC and GOP and yada. It's just not going there. Now, I can't help but to think, is this because they're very well aware that 24 is the last time there will be an election? Is this because we ran out of candidates? Because seriously, think about it. Who are the candidates? Like from each side, Democrat or Republican? Can you think of candidates? Because I'm running out of names. Well, a dreamland, yes, as I have said many times over and over and over again, dreamland would be Dr. Ben Carson, you know, announcing, running and winning. That would be like absolutely awesome. Personal opinion. But can you think of candidates like, oops, who's going to run? I mean, I get it. We got President Trump. We have Biden. But who else? Like, who do we have? A lot of guesses were going on last year, but seems like the closer we get to announcements, I'm not hearing much announcements. Are you? Like, are we done? Did even candidates come to realize that from day one, the primary candidate is picked already? Like, is everybody catching up with this rigged game? I guess that's what I'm asking. Because it feels like they have. Or at least I hope they have. But I'm going to be very honest with you. It is in my head, the calculation and logic and numbers and formula is becoming more and more concerning. But I'm not sure where to begin with it. In probably a month or two, I know more to where to begin with it or start with. But let me see. Karen has a question that is not in line with anything I covered today. That's all right. Why is no one questioning Obama over Biden's classified document? Wasn't Obama in charge when Biden took them? Obama was in charge when Biden took them. And here's to answer your question. I actually haven't touched this document thing for a reason. Number one reason, there are, you know, other alternative outlets that are covering it. But the thing is, we're at a point, Karen, and anyone else who might be interested in my point of view on this. The level of hypocrisy and double standards have been solid proven that it's there. You know, when it's the right, what is the reaction when it's left? What is the reaction when it's white versus black, American born versus immigrant? All of those double standards and hypocrisy is there. To answer directly of your question, why nobody's questioned by Obama, nobody ever questioned Obama from the time he was in office until today. Obama is that untouchable character. He is black, he's Muslim, who would dare, right? And then also he is part of the deep state, you know. He's not going to question himself, will he? No. Roger Stone's point of view, which did interest me, was probably nobody's questioning Obama because this is Obama setting up Biden. Biden has served his use. They're about to get rid of him. Nobody's going to go ask anybody anything. They're just going to hold on to what it is, use this to remove Biden and take the, you know, communist movement to the next step. That's, again, it wasn't mine. I learned this from Roger Stone and I have entertained it. It does seem somewhat genuine, or it does make some sort of sense to me for Obama to be setting up Biden. But generally, don't hold your breath. Don't expect anyone to knock at Obama's door, because that's who the Obama family are. Untouchable. No one touches them. They got too many friends to be touched or questioned. I was wondering what will happen if DeSantis runs and he brings these facts up you just brought up. Do you think he would have a good chance against Trump? Caleb, that is a very good question. I have thought about that. Unfortunately, some campaigners got ahead of that and without DeSantis even announcing, they all went after him. They called him a traitor. You know, DeSantis wouldn't be DeSantis if it wasn't for Trump, yada, yada. I'm sure you've heard the whole charade. On that note, unfortunately, politics is very dirty. They have already muddied up the water for DeSantis. Even though these questions and facts are factual and it has been there, the opposition or the opposite campaign is going to smear DeSantis and turn it into, you're just trying to take Trump down. They're not going to let it stay as facts. But trust me, I will face the same thing. If I walk into a Trump campaign right now and bring any of these up, I will be smeared. I will be, you know, demolished, disappear. I don't know. It's just, unfortunately, again, campaigning for politics is a very, very, very ruthless and dirty game they have to play. I highly doubt DeSantis will run. I think he's very happy where he's at. I don't think he's going to run at all. But if he does, I do strongly believe there's a silent majority that will get behind DeSantis. I will not be a silent supporter. I gladly will get behind DeSantis. Not because I think he's perfect, not because I think he's Lord and Savior, no. Because I like his tactics. I love his mature military behavior. And I have seen him stand up to bullies. On that note, I will personally, publicly, and loudly get behind DeSantis. But I do believe if he does choose to run, considering the circumstances of last 6-7 months, with what's been happening at Mar-a-Lago and stuff, I do believe he will, by choice of people, he will have the majority of votes. Now, will the GOP put him up there? That is a very different question that I highly doubt it. I hope that answered your question. Okay, let me see if I have any more questions because we got like a minute or two left and I want to... Nope, there is absolutely nothing irrational about fearing Islam. If you don't fear Islam, you have not been paying attention. If you pretend to not fear Islam because you want to be a tough person, then that is going to get you in trouble. You're very welcome, Caleb. Okay, I have like 2 minutes. I have like a few second video of Biden. I don't know if you caught this morning at Luther King breakfast event they had, but he said something, it's literally 23 seconds. I want you to listen to this. Let's see if I can do it.
And ban the number of bullets and go in a magazine. There's no need for any of that. I love my right-wing friends who talk about the tree of liberty is water with the blood of patriots. I mean, if you need to work about taking on the federal government, you need some F-15s. You don't need an AR-15. I'm serious. Think about it.
Think about it. I agree with Biden. That doesn't happen often, but think about it. I will actually leave you with that. Think about it. Wake up, acknowledge, and plan. I really do hope and pray that in 2023, we learn, and by we, I mean the Americans. I'm done with parties. I'm done with divisions. Americans, my fellow Americans, I hope we learn to unite under one plan that was originally put in place by our founding fathers and fight for our freedoms because freedoms are never free. And don't get distracted. Don't let the division carry you into another year of push and pull. The law is clear. And all we need to do is enforce it because we, the people, are the bosses in this country. I got to run, guys. See you tomorrow at 2:30 Central right here on whatever channel you're at. Meantime, liveuptofreedom@gmail.com if you want to send me any questions for tomorrow or other day's show. Liveuptofreedom.com is where you can find all of my promo codes, sponsors, artist store. Purchasing any of my art pieces is greatly appreciated, and it does help me continue doing what I do. Stay safe and stay vigilant. You're awesome. God bless you and God bless America. Goodbye, guys. See you tomorrow.